With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
All right, welcome back to Officially Unofficial, presented by Blue Wire Podcast. I'm your host, the former face of junior college baseball, the Fall American, Johnny Junta. And we're here with a very special guest, man. This is a guy that is universally loved in the baseball world. He is former 11th overall draft selection in the 2017 MLB draft. And most importantly, he made his debut in 2021 for the Chicago White Sox. It is my pleasure, it is my honor to welcome Jake Berger to the Officially Unofficial Podcast. How are we doing, brother?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on. I mean, that's... it's one of the cooler intros I've ever gotten, you know, beloved by baseball. I love
we
it.
We do it different, man. And like I said, like I told people, I mean, you and I have a lot of mutual friends, humble brag. I'm grinding here in the baseball world. If I mention the name Jake Berger to someone, they almost get a hard on talking about you. It's just, you're a universally loved guy. And we talked about this before the show. We had Adam Frazier on 2 weeks ago. Humble brag, you were golfing with him before we were launching this episode. How's Frazier's golf game going, man?
It's about the same as mine, you know. We're mid-90s, haven't played in a while. So, you know, we're trying to get back on the horse and start playing again. It's it was fun, though. He took a little money from me, but, you know, I'll be back on the course to get it back.
It's funny. I mean, the multi-million dollar man is grinding and taking money from guys that are just grinding in the major leagues, triple A. It's just, that's honestly criminal. I'm never playing golf with Frazier. And I don't know if you told this. So obviously you didn't mention it, but the reason why I met Frazier was, I told us on the podcast before, I was, Jordan Luplow was here playing for the Tampa Bay Rays. Me and him went out for a couple, like for dinner. And I honestly got mangled. I barely remember the night, and we FaceTime Musgrove because we're pretty close with Musgrove. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm with Frazier and I'm blackout drunk, and I offered my sister to, I don't have a sister, but I offered my imaginary sister to get Frazier on the show. So Frazier's our guy now. But how did that relationship with you and Frazier even start?
it's actually wild. So I live in Nashville in the off season, and Benintendi lives here, and so Andrew Benintendi and I last couple of years have hung out, and like, you know, we'll watch football on Sundays together. And that's kind of our mainstay, like Sundays and Saturday nights hanging out together. So this past Sunday, it was the Seahawks Steelers game, and we were trying to figure out something to do. And he's like, hey, let's just go watch it at my place. Like Adam Frazier, like wants to hang out. And like, I don't even know him that well either, but like, we'll invite him over. And he came over, we watched the game on Sunday night, and we're like, hey, let's go golf. So, you know, made the tee time for today, and I'm sure there'll be more coming up.
What a sick world you live in, man. I'm out here grinding, slinging Red Bull at 6 a.m. and you're golfing with Andrew Benintendi and Adam Frazier. I mean, part of me hates you, part of me loves you, but dude, it's insane. So this is what we're going to make a game plan here, because like I said, we've had big guys on the show. You and Frazier now have to form an alliance. Just kind of mention me around Benintendi. Be like, have you went on the Officially Unofficial podcast, Frazier? I mean, that guy's electric. I love Johnny. And just kind of mention it. And then Benintendi's going to feel left out, kind of like a loner in that little threesome, foursome you guys have going on there. And bada bing, bada boom, Andrew Benintendi's a friend of the show.
He's on the show. I think he'd have no problem with that. I think he'd love it.
I mean, like I said, and I offered you this. I always offer this to guys. We have a jersey wall here. We retire jerseys. You somehow finagle a way to get Andrew Benintendi on the show. Jake Berger jersey will get retired in the podcast.
Wow.
We'll figure something out. Maybe at a ceremony. I don't know. We'll figure something out.
Wow.
But, But and dude, and for the people listening to this, and if you're wondering why this audio is, it feels like you're actually in the room with me and Berger right now. This guy has a podcast mic and headphones. It looks like I'm talking to Howard Stern right now. This guy's dialed in. I love this guy. So what's the deal? Do you stream and stuff like that? Is that why you have all that stuff?
Yeah, yeah. Last year I streamed a lot, especially like over quarantine and then going into the off season. Like Among Us was like the big game, and I'd play with like a lot of my buddies, but. I'm going to get back into it this year and we'll see what happens. But, you know, I'm a Call of Duty guy, NHL guy. So, you know, I got to pick and choose which ones I want to stream and, you know, not get too mad on stream. So
I respect that. Those are my two games, by the way. I play Call of Duty every single night. And like I said, I'm forming a squad here. We have Musgrove, we have Luplo. Maybe we can finagle your way in. Just like I said, we might need a fourth here. We have a couple other guys, but if you need a guy to play COD or just dust you in NHL, just give me a ring. I mean, how good are you at NHL? Like, what would you say on a scale of 1 to 10?
I mean, I don't want to like toot my own horn, but I think I'm probably an 8 or 9.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that was like my childhood game growing up, and I've gotten more into FIFA, but like, NHL was like a mainstay. Like that was the game I always played. I always bought. And like we do the EA SHL team now, like where you have your individual guy. And like, I think I got like 20 games, like 40 Genos, like 20 apples. I mean, look at, Jesus. I mean, I'm averaging 3 points a game. So, you know,
you're a McDavid, you're the McDavid of the league, man. And I just got to tip my cap to you on that. I mean, that's just an absolute power move by you. And you could be honest here, because I hate these guys in Chell. Are you a cross crease guy? Be honest.
No. I pick and choose. I'm above the hash, like, you know, trying to snipe top corns and see what happens. But I think some of my teammates probably get too mad at me because I don't feed the rock too much. We're doing a cross crease type thing. So
dude, it's just, I mean, like the cross crease, and listen, I'm a noted scumbag when it comes to video games. I'm the type of guy that's going to let someone get self revive and then kill them so I can weasel the kill. Hand up. I get roasted by Luplo for doing it all the time. He always roasts me. He said, did you wait for that guy to revive? And I'm like, yeah, actually, yeah. I legitimately did do that. But no, man. So COD's your main game, like that's the bread and butter for you.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, I mean, I would say probably over the last year, that's been the main game, but I'm kind of getting away from it, but I still got the talent, you know, to be on the team, but it's just, I don't know. I'm trying to explore new games, and I know Battlefield's coming out, and I play like Tarkov and stuff like that on PC. But one of my buddies is actually a streamer, so we kind of like play together, and he's really good, and he like hard carries me, so it's fun to play with him. But like when I'm the team leader and have to carry, it's shaky.
I could definitely get behind that. So another thing. You're very big on social media, which is why I respect you, which is why genuinely, man, I mean, I'm not one to throw out some ideas here. If you're looking for a potential podcast host, maybe me and you start something out here. Just two Canadian guys. We'll call it Morale Guys. Just me and you, the locker room guys that keep everyone going. We'll think about that. We'll talk about that in the future.
All right.
But you got some heat on Twitter because you were notedly rooting for the Green Bay Packers on the weekend, which I respect. I had the Packers -6. I had the Packers. Ooh, like, what were your DMs like? Were people calling you a scumbag? Like, what was going on there?
So, like, part of it, I figured that, like, people knew I was a Green Bay fan because, like, 2 weeks prior, I was tweeting about Devontae Adams getting a helmet-to-helmet hit and, like, the refs not calling it. But part of it was, like, a little troll, but not really, like, I actually lived in Green Bay one of my off seasons. And so I kind of fell in love with the city, and I'm from St. Louis originally. And so, like, you know, I mean, the Rams left. So I was a free agent, and I was up there, like, met Jordy Nelson. Like, it was really cool experience for me. And I went to like 6 games while I was up there. And so became a Green Bay fan. And, you know, I tweeted that out, a little troll job, but you know, it was fun. It was all in good fun. And I can't, like, some people take it really seriously, and so I apologize to those people. But the ones that like had good fun with it was a funny day for me, for sure.
Dude, and this is why, like I said, this is why you're my guy now. You don't pander. Like, you're not rooting for that poverty franchise like the Chicago Bears. Like, I mean, they're not ideal. I mean, that Matt, as long as Matt Nagy is at the helm, calling plays, whatever that guy's doing, they're never going to be good. And that's just plain and simple. So you're a part of the, you're on Aaron Rodgers' side, I'm assuming. You're on the management side.
Yeah. I love everything Aaron Rodgers does. And I mean, seriously, one of the Bears fans tweeted, like, he just needs to retire already, Jake. And I'm like, I mean, I like him on Jeopardy. So, I mean, if he wants to do that, like, go ahead. Jordan Love's going to turn into the next big thing. And, you know, it'll be another 20 years.
It's incredible what this guy does. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is absolutely electric. I don't know. Are you a fan of his hair? I don't know if I'm a fan of the hair. I'm not.
No, I'm really not. No, I was a fan of the mustache though last year. Like, yeah. It looked real good.
Yeah, the mustache fucked. The mustache fucked. But let's go into the playing career here, because I want to bring something up. Your stats at Missouri State are idiotic. And that's just plain and simple. I'm going to read them out to some of these people, because these are stats that I used to dream having when I went to JUCO, where I hit 186 below my body weight, the greatest fall hitter in the nation. You hit 349 with 21 nukes and 72 RBIs in 2016. Are you shitting me? What was going right there for you? I mean, was the ball a beach ball? Were pitchers flipping you off? Like, what's going right there? Like, was no one talking to you? What's the deal?
No, it was, the ball did look like a beach ball all year. And it was kind of crazy, because, like, the year before I hit 340, but only had like four bombs. And that summer I stayed at Missouri State and just like lifted and like got after it and like became super strong and did a couple of drills that kind of changed like the launch angle, like perspective. And so like those two things combined, the strength and like kind of changing my swing a little bit, like caused the power numbers to jump. And, you know, I've been doing those drills ever since.
Dude, those so was those numbers what put you on the map? Because like I said, I'm a big Jake Berger guy, obviously, from here on out. But when you have those numbers, like, is that when you realize, like, holy shit, like, I'm going to get the bag in the draft. I'm going to get drafted like top 15 like you did. Like, when did you kind of come to this realization?
I think the realization was when I got invited to Team USA, the collegiate team. That summer we went to Taiwan, Japan, and Cuba. Yeah. And so that was kind of like, okay, like, it's starting to get pretty real. And I started every game with Team USA. So it was like, all right, like, let's continue it and go into the junior year and hopefully have the same type of year. And everything I've been dreaming of could be possible.
Who was on that team?
It was like Jaron Kendall, Kyle Wright, Evan
Holy
White.
Shit.
I'm trying to think who, like, Bukakis.
So just a bunch of freaks. Like,
yeah,
just literally
yeah.
a bunch of freaks. Like, mm-hmm. And that we had Hunter Bishop on the show, and that U.S. team that he was on with, like, Torkelson, him, Bryson stuff. I mean, some of these U.S. teams is like just playing. It's like it, like our Team Canada over here. When we face you guys, it looks like we're facing grown men.
Yeah.
Like, did you face Team Canada when you were down there?
No, no. We just played those three: the Taiwanese national, Japan national, and the
Cuban
national.
Oh, I'm thinking of the junior national team. I'm thinking of Team Canada in high school. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah. Okay, that makes more sense. Mm-hmm. But when did you get that call that you're representing the country? Thank you for your service, by the way. When did you get that call? You were starting for Team USA, or you were going to be on that team? Like, when did you find out?
I want to say it was like March of my sophomore year. I got off to like a pretty good start and. I got the call and I'm like, yeah, like I'm so in for that. Like, especially the travel. I mean, some Team USA teams have to stay here. Like, I got to see Cuba before it was open for us. And like, got to go to Japan for 14 days. Like, it was unbelievable experience, like both on and off the field.
And one thing that is absolutely adorable about you is your best friends, your friendship with Gavin Lux, a guy that, dare I add, is just an absolute freak of nature at the game of baseball. I believe, did he win the Golden Spikes? Is that him? No, that's Andrew Vaughn. That's Andrew
Vaughn.
That's Andrew Vaughn.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So go into that relationship, because I believe, and if I heard correctly, I believe you slid into his DMs. So, and this brings up the question, are you Gavin Lux and am I Jake Berger in this friendship? Like, because I slid into your DMs, you know what I'm saying? So how did that relationship form?
Gavin Sheets, not Lux.
Or Gavin Sheets, sorry.
It'd be cool
Gavin
if it was Lux,
Sheets, yes. Gavin Sheets, yes.
No, yeah. So we both got drafted, and I slid into the DMs, and I'm like, hey, like, dude, like, this is going to be fun together. Like, what's your number? We can like text and, you know, get to know each other. And then we both flew out to Arizona together, played in the AZL, and then both flew to low A together. And so that's how that relationship started. And then last year, I was at the alt site. He wasn't, which is unbelievable for his story. Like, he wasn't invited to the alt site last year, and look what he did this year. But we both went to Instructs and kind of like kept building that bond, and played in Charlotte this year before we both got called up. But yeah, it was it's been an unbelievable relationship with him, and we still talk shit to each other back and forth about Baltimore, the Ravens and the Packers. And I think we're going out there for the Packers Ravens game. So it'll be fun.
And this is how dumb I am. I wrote Gavin Lux at the top and Gavin Sheets at the bottom. This is how this is how stupid I am, because now I'm realizing it says Sheets down here and Lux up there. That's just the JUCO brain just firing on all cylinders. Just
sounds absolutely like a Missouri
incredible.
State
too. That's just absolutely incredible. And Missouri State, here's your opportunity to talk shit about the Missouri Tigers. Is Missouri Tigers the little brother school in terms of baseball? Like, who's the big dog in campus there?
When I was there, yeah. I mean, it was – we beat them, I think, 5 out of 6 times when I was there. And the only game we lost, like, 17-13. But, yeah, I mean, there's some bad blood for sure. And it's always fun kind of talking with those Mizzou guys, because they always think, oh, we're in the SEC, so we're better. But, you know, I mean, the record showed, and the Super Regional showed.
Wow. I mean, that's just an absolute. So you just scoreboard them. You said, look at the scoreboard. That's move you just pulled. Yeah,
stats don't lie, right? I mean,
true. I mean, the facts don't care about your feelings. Ben Shapiro. I mean, that's the card we're going to play. I respect that. And the next thing I wanted to go into, obviously, you get drafted in the first round. When did you find out you were going to the White Sox? Was it right before? Did they show interest off the hop? Like, when did this relationship form, or was it just completely caught off guard?
So Nick Hostetler was the scouting director at the time, and he came to Springfield at Missouri State and did an interview in March or early April. And they just kind of do their formalities and stuff. And like, I called my dad after that interview, and I'm like, dude, I think I'm going to go to the White Sox. Cause like, there was so much chemistry, like, the way we were talking with each other, like, everything just clicked. And then we got to the draft, and like, when pick 6 went off the board, my agent at the time called me and was like, hey, like, we think the White Sox are going to take you at 11 if you're still there. And that's how I found out. And then it got read on TV, which was unbelievable for my parents, and my teammates were with me, and my entire family was with me. So that was an awesome experience, and like, the place erupted, and I got to talk to Rick Hahn and Nick Hostetler and all of them on the phone. So it was just awesome experience. And I, like, my parents were more proud than I was. So it was cool to see them smiling and having a good time.
And we talk about dads just absolutely crying, coming down into tears. And this is an opportunity here for you to exploit your dad, your father. How much tears are we talking?
He choked up a little bit. He's one that doesn't cry very often, but I want to say probably he probably cried more for my debut, just because, like, he's like, dude, after everything you've been through, like, and everything we've gone through together, like, it's special.
Okay, now let's get sentimental here. Let's go into the story. I mean, when you look on your Twitter, which is electric, by the way, if you're not following Jake Berger on Twitter, Bergatron13, you're just an absolute fool. You're dead to me if you're not following this guy. You have that, you know, that notes app, right? I mean, you're talking about the injuries you battled through and all that kind of stuff. We're going to get sentimental here for a second. I mean, looking back at where you were, I believe it was, 2020 in March, and where you are now in that development, I mean, 263 in the show. I mean, I'll take that 10 times out of 10. How crazy is that shit to look back at, man? It's insane, right? It's crazy. Yeah.
No, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, I'll be straightforward. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, legitimately, from the day I debuted, if you go back 365 days, like, I was thinking about, like, retiring and basically, like, coaching.
Wow.
And then I'm like, you know what, let's keep trying this. Let's play. Like, I played in a car shield collegiately. Like, there are a couple pro guys sprinkled in, but like, I played with just college players and just played like 7-inning games every day for a month. And like, I started like getting that inspiration back and that motivation back, and like slowly just kept building and building. And like, but a year later, I'm making my debut in Chicago or in Detroit. But yeah,
that's insane. Mm-hmm. That is, I'm so happy you didn't fucking give up, because these stats you've been putting up are crazy, man. I mean, especially on your debut, I believe you go 2 for 4 with a double. I mean, are you shitting me? Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't script that shit, man. So how close were you to actually quitting? Like, was there one point in that time period where you're like, listen, man, I don't even want to think about the game of baseball anymore. I'm like, I'm fucking done with this shit. Like, was it that close?
Yeah. I mean, it was December 2019, around Christmas time. I talked to I was kind of scared to tell my dad, because my dad helped me throughout my entire life with baseball. I mean, he threw 50,000 pitches of BP. And so I'm like, hey mom, like, let's go grab lunch. And I took her out to lunch and I'm like, hey, like, I'm seriously thinking about quitting. Like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I honestly hate this sport. I hate everything about it. And she's like, you know, like, just keep going. Like, don't do anything to regret. And, then I told my dad and he said the exact same thing. And I'm like, okay, like, maybe they're onto something. They're parents for a reason. Like, they understand like what I'm going through. And I kept listening to them. And, you know, it was crazy, because like, I still kind of had these feelings when I got to spring training, and obviously COVID hit. And so everything shut down, and it's like, shit, like, am I ever going to play baseball again? And I just kind of had family time during COVID and was able to stay with them for like 4 months and play tennis every day with my mom and do just like normal fun activities. And I finally started getting that drive back. So it was really cool to have that experience with them.
It is insane, man, especially when it's like something that you've known your whole life is pretty much playing baseball, and you see it all the time. I mean, I'm assuming in your draft class in the first round, like, I don't know what the stat is, but I know a lot of first rounders don't even end up making their debut. It's just so, it does so much tax on your body, you know, like, just especially with the expectations you have, especially a guy like you who's a first rounder, you probably, especially with like how passionate the White Sox fans are, if you're a first rounder and you're not in the show, I mean, your DMs are a scary fact. I mean, it's full of idiots just roasting you for that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah.
And you see it with some guys, and man, it's just, I couldn't even imagine just the shit that you had to probably go through. So when did you kind of realize, at like what point did you realize like, man, I'm fucking good at the game of baseball? Like, it's like during this time period when you were struggling, like, when did you realize like, I'm better than the people that I'm training with, maybe, or I actually have a chance to make the show here with the talent that I have?
So I went to the alt site after that collegiate league and like started, like, my OPS was crazy. Like, I was walking, I was seeing pitches really well. Like, I was hitting for power, not as many home runs as I would like, but like power. And then I went to Instructs and I was there for 3 weeks and we're playing the Dodgers like every single day. And I went like 4 for 10 with like 6 walks and 2 bombs and like 2 doubles. And I'm like, okay, like, we'll see here. And then I show up to spring training and like, I'm starting the first game at third base. And I'm like, this is kind of crazy. Like, I didn't get a spring, like a hit that game, but I'm like, I'm starting. And then I start playing in these B games, like backfield games against the Dodgers. And it's like Gonsolin, Trinan, like dudes. Right. And Urias, I clipped Gonsolin and Urias. Like, I hit bombs off both of them. And I'm like, okay, like, all right, like, just keep your head like motivated and in the right place. And like, everything will take care of it. And like, it kind of just kept building. It wasn't like one single moment where I'm like, all right, like, I'm going to make the show. Like, no, it just kind of like, let's just be consistent and keep building and keep learning. And that's kind of how it happened.
That's kind of the mindset that, I mean, not to pump my own tires here, but that's kind of like the mindset that I have with this show. Like, obviously the podcast game's an absolute fucking grind, but I know we have something special here. It's like a roller coaster, you know? I mean, yeah. it's not always going to be high times. And honestly, I know I talk shit a lot about like my stats, but me being so dog shit at the game of baseball kind of helps me in the podcast game, you know? Because when I'm at my lows, I'm like, it could be worse. I could be I could be going 0-for-4 with 3 punchies and God knows where in Nebraska right now. It could be way worse. So that's true. Like, the kind of mindset that I take with it. And So before we go into your call up and your debut, I got to ask, I mean, you saw, I'm not going to talk about another man's money. You signed for the bag on draft day. What was the dumbest shit that you bought? Was it a, like, did you buy a new whip? Like, what are you rolling around in?
Yeah. So I bought a Audi A7 and like,
holy shit.
I love that car. I loved it, but like I tear my Achilles, right? And I can't get in it. And I'm like, fuck, like this sucks.
Like, yeah, dude, I know. That makes
like
sense.
This sucks. So I traded it in. I have a truck now. So I mean, like, I'm kind of looking at something else, like maybe a Mercedes, but I don't know. I love sports cars and I love German sports cars. So I think if I make a little more money, that'll be the next purchase.
I mean, you look like a truck guy though. Like, and that's the biggest compliment of all time. You just look like a truck guy, which is something that's just something that's acquired. Like me, I'm just a guy that drives like mom cars, like a Sonata or some shit like that. You're a truck guy, which is it's just incredible. But okay, we'll go into your debut now. So you get the call to the show in 2021, and I'll be honest with you, man. Like I had an idea who you were, but it honestly felt like you were fucking trending on my Twitter page because I just saw burgers everywhere the fuck I looked from all the guys that I follow, all our mutual friends, which is why I said you're universally loved. But before we go into like all the outpour of like support you had, where were you when you found out you were getting the call? And I mean, what was kind of running through your head? Because like you said, man, 2020, you were literally going to quit. Like you were going to, God knows what you would have been doing.
Yeah.
But you get that call in 2021, a year later, dude, fucking crazy.
Yeah, we were, I think we were playing Norfolk at home in Charlotte. And I had like two really good games, like the night, like Monday or Tuesday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And it was Thursday and they're like, hey, pull him out of the lineup. Like, he's probably going to come up. And so I was out of the lineup and Wes Helms, the manager at the time, and the entire staff there, like pulled me in and like, hey, like you're going to the show. Like you deserve this. Like you worked hard. And I honestly, like, I thought I was going to cry, but like, it was almost like, I just felt like I was in a dream. Like I couldn't even like show emotion because I'm like, there's no way this is real. Right. Like, you know? So and then like fly out to Detroit on Friday morning. And that was a treat. I flew in at like 9 a.m. I had to wake up at like 6 a.m. And it's like, or it was 4th of July weekend. So like the airport's just slammed. And I'm like, dude, there's no way I'm missing this flight. And so I finally like make it up there, Uber like 30 minutes to the hotel and take a nap and then ready to go, strap them on for a 7 o'clock game.
Dude, it's great. Like Kevin alluded to it. Like when he called me, when he was getting the call to the show, it's bananas how quick that you have to be in a big league clubhouse. Like you are grinding in AAA. I'm assuming staying in a dog shit hotel, eating like peanut butter and jam. Next thing you know, your locker mates with fucking Tim Anderson. Like yeah. You're on a jet. So what was the biggest difference that you kind of noticed like from the show to AAA, the hotels, the food, like what was like the travel? What was it?
Yeah, I mean, like the travel and hotels for sure. I mean, I think that it's night and day. But I like honestly, for me, it was like the intensity of everybody in the clubhouse and like just the adrenaline you're feeling on a day in, day out basis. Like, because especially when you're in the pennant race and you're in first place, like you're trying to win every single game. And so it was a different level of intensity and a different level of adrenaline. I mean, there's nothing like it. And it's hard to like describe because it almost feels like you're numb, especially for like the first six, seven games.
And that first at bat, what was running through your head? Because it's just, your story is absolutely bananas to me. So when is the adrenaline just kicking in and you're not really thinking, like, are you thinking pitch by pitch, like what this guy's going to come at me with? Like, do you have a strategy? Is it just go up there and fuck it? Like, what's the deal?
I mean, like it kind of pissed me off because I'm friends with Casey Mize and that's who I was facing that day. I'm like, oh, like I'd rather just like face somebody I don't know. I know what he has. Like I train with him in the off season. So like I have that idea in my head. And so like, stepping into the box and I'm like, all right, he's going to throw a first pitch fastball. Like be ready for it. And like, for some reason, I just couldn't like pull the trigger. Like I just took it. And I'm like, God, that's the only pitch I'm going to get to like drive. and swung in the next pitch as like a sinker inside and got out on double play. And I actually talked to Casey after the game, and he's like, dude, I threw you a fastball right down the middle. And I'm like, dude, you like the adrenaline was way too high for me to swing at that.
Did Casey, so Casey Myers legitimately looked you in the eyes and said, I gave you a fastball, and you just went absolutely cement concrete hand. Like, do you even remember the at-bat? Like, be honest.
Yeah, no, I'm like, so this is what sucks. Cause like, he's got a four seam and a sinker. And like, I'm like, he's going to throw me a four seam here. Like, I just got to be ready to pull the trigger. And he threw it. And then I'm like, okay, well, it's either going to be the splitter or the sinker, like down under the hands. Cause there's a guy in first base with one out. They're going to try and get me to roll over. And so I knew like the pitch sequence, what it was going to be. And you know, still swung into it anyway. Still swung into
that's,
the plan.
That's fine. And level of comfortability there is actually electric too, by the way. But in Detroit, by the way, Comerica Park, it's pretty close to where I live. It's like 3-4 hours from where I live. Very underrated field.
Yeah.
I mean, that field is electric.
No, I love that field. Yeah. I actually hit my first big league triple there, and I hit a big league triple before I hit a big league home run, which is wild.
That's some Hall of Fame shit. That really is. And your first big league home run, credit to me for knowing this, by the way, against the Houston Astros. It was in a game where you guys won 10-1. Credit to me again for doing the research here. Do you remember running around the bases there? Did you pimp it? Like, give us the backstory on that first big league nuke.
Yeah, I mean, for some reason, like, I was actually really dialed that game. I hit a double earlier in the game for RBI, and then I came up, and it was, like, 9-1 at the time, and threw a fastball inside, and I just, like, I don't know what happened. Like, it just kind of took over and hammered it, and I was kind of floating around the bases. I didn't pimp it, and Gavin Sheets actually came up to me, and he's like, dude, like, you're not going to pimp a ball that's 113 that goes 456. Like, what are you going to pimp? And I'm like, what? As a rookie, like, you cannot pimp your first home run. Like, you just can't.
You can't. Like, no, you really can't. Like, you can. Really can't.
And so I'm like, he's like, dude, but there's like, it's one of the more impressive home runs I've seen this year. Like, you should probably pimp it. I'm like, no, dude. Like, I was floating. I was flying around those bases. The fireworks going off. The lights flickering. Like, there's so nothing I can do.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
That's so electric. And I mean, let's go into the Chicago fans, man. I mean, obviously they're very, as you can say, I mean, they're very passionate about their sports here, as you can see with the White Sox, Dave and John Cusack incident. I don't know if you saw that on Twitter. It's electric. So being like playing for a city like that, did you feel like the expectations, especially making your debut, being that first round guy from 2017, like, did you feel how much expectations they had for you?
No, not really. I think part of it was like, including myself, like, people wrote me off, you know. It was like, oh, you know what, like, you got hurt, like, he's not going to be back, and you know what, like, let's just move on. So, like, I didn't really feel that pressure that maybe an Andrew Vaughn might have felt, or a Garrett Crochet, you know, where, like, I kind of knew what type of player I was, and, like, I knew if I got back on the field, I'd get there, but, like, there was no expectation. I think everybody was just, like, super happy for me, which was unbelievable to see, and like, just the love and support that every fan gave me was special.
And speaking about the Chicago White Sox, sorry, I've said, and hand up to me, credit to me for admitting this, I've thrown a couple chirps at Tony La Russa. Sell me on Tony La Russa. What's it like playing for this guy? Because he gets absolutely dragged through the mud on social media by people. I mean, what's this guy like? Is he like a player's coach or what?
Yeah. I mean, it's literally like us against the world, you know. He's going to do anything for his family. He's going to protect us no matter what. I mean, when Abreu gets hit for the third time in a series, like, you know, he's going to run out of the dugout and like get in the catcher's face. Like, he's that guy that like, is going to have your back no matter what. And he's going to make rookies feel comfortable and, you know, just make sure like we're feeling a part of the team. Even like I was on the taxi squad for the ALDS and he made us feel a part of it. He's like, dude, like, this is so cool that you get to experience this with us. So It's unbelievable playing for him. And I know he gets a lot of flack, but you know, as a player's coach, player's manager, like he's everything I'd want.
I miss those type of guys, man. Like I miss, obviously I chirp him a lot, but I miss the, like the coaches that smoke darts in the dugout that just pack absolute fucking hammers like Jim Leland that are just like that literally reek of booze, that like reek of booze in the dugout pregame. Like those are the managers you kind of just love. And my favorite picture is a picture. I don't know if you know this picture. It's Jim Leland in the dugout. His legs crossed and he is just smoking an absolute fucking heater.
Smoke and a dart. Yep.
Yeah, I remember. He's just electric. I love Jim Leland. And another guy that I wanted to bring up that you played with is a guy that packs the biggest dips I've ever seen in my life while he's playing. I mean, and I do this thing where if I see a guy playing, I pause the game and I put hammer from hell on Twitter. Jose Abreu. Yeah. I mean, what do you, when you look at this, the hammers this guy packs and the way that he plays, are you like, how is that humanly possible?
No, he does with the dipping. I'm like, dude, I got no idea. Like it amazes me. I mean, you have that hammer in for 60 games and you're the MVP. Like, come on. I mean, you're consistently putting up 30 bombs, 100 plus RBIs every year. Like,
it's insane. Like, and the dips that he packed, it's not like these little baby dips that some players put in just to have like comfortability to calm them down.
Yeah.
We're talking absolute fucking nukes in their lower lip.
It's like out hammer, here. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I wonder how many tens like he goes through because it's insane. Do you see these guys packed? Like, or is it something they just do before the game and they just keep it in the whole game? Or are they recycling this shit?
I don't really remember. I know like that they have like a baggie and it's like whatever dip they have in there. And then there's like some honey in there and like some different stuff that like packs it together better, I guess.
That's insane.
Yeah. And so like they just take it out of there, put it in. So I'm assuming they probably have, like recycle it throughout the game, but
That's what makes what he's doing so much more impressive.
Yeah.
Like I need to be seated when I have a dip. This guy just packs absolute nukes and he's just mashing. It's just one of the most incredible things. So when you were up there, did you have like a vet kind of take you under his wing that kind of taught you the ropes of like how to be a guy, like a pro's pro and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. I mean like Abreu was great at that. Like making you feel comfortable. TA was like the guy, defensively that like would make me feel comfortable, you know, over at third base. It's like, dude, like, he's like, I got you. Like, no matter what, like I got you. Like, so that would made me feel a lot more comfortable at third. And then I would say like Grandal helped with like pitch recognition and like, hey, like this is how this guy's going to attack you. This is how teams are going to attack you. And this is like what you need to learn, when you're up here for a consistent amount of time where you can come into this computer room and like watch how they're going to throw it to you. So it was kind of a combination. That's what was cool about this team is like, it didn't really matter like what position you played. Like Lance Lynn was awesome to me. Like Dallas Keuchel was awesome to me. Like it didn't matter. Like all the vets like tried to take care of the rookies. And with all the injuries we had, they had to, because it's like, hey, like you're going to like win us some games here. Like we want you to feel as comfortable as possible.
And when you hit that first home run, do you have that ball still, or did that scumbag foul ball guy take it, or whatever his name is, Zach Hample? Like, did he try to sell it back to you, or what's the deal with that?
Have
that ball?
No, this is a cool story, actually. There was like a kid there. It was like, I think it was his first White Sox game, either of the year or ever. And like his parents like wanted to give him a gift, and they used the stimulus check to like buy this like ticket package for this game. And like their kid, they caught the ball. And I gave him like a signed bat and like, he traded it back. And it was a really cool story, like how they were at the game and like how it ended up with them, you know?
Wow. So did you get a picture with him? Cause I honestly might clip that story and put it on Twitter. That
no, I
absolutely insane.
I wish I could have. I think he was coming back to the game before, but he never came down and said hello, which sucks.
Wow.
But, yeah. Uh-huh.
Dude, that's just I hate those, like, and I've said this multiple times on the show. If you are over the age of 30 or 40 and you are an autograph seeker, a guy that wants a shit ton of money for home run balls, a guy that just absolutely hounds Major League Baseball players for like baseballs and batting practice, I despise you. So you played with some big dudes, man. I mean, you've played with Tim Anderson, you played with all these guys, like I said, Gavin Sheets, aka Gavin Lux. What's it like seeing, especially obviously a guy like you, a first rounder, seeing these guys get absolutely fucking hounded in the minor leagues for autographs? Like, who did you think got it the worst? Andrew Vaughn, maybe?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was Vaughn-y. That's like, I can't even imagine it, man. Like, I would get hounded, but like, dude, as Vaughn, like, dude, you're a guy that spent a half a year in minor league baseball and you're on the show, like starting them left, like, dude, you're absolutely getting hounded. And like, I mean, it's part of it. Like, it's cool, but like at the same time, it's like, I mean, come on. Like, you know, it's, I'm just here to do a job. So it's definitely like a fine line between like fan interaction and like kind of keeping to your own routine. And I side on the side of like, hey, I'm going to interact with whoever. Like, I don't see myself as any different than
a
regular guy. And so like, I love like talking to random people and kind of just shoot the shit with them. But some of the guys are different.
And that's the thing, like, and some athletes, and I don't know what athlete I've heard say this, but some people have said they would rather have a genuine conversation with like an autograph seeker instead of signing like 50 different things. Yeah. Like sometimes like, it's just these autograph seekers, in my opinion, maybe you have a story, they just don't have any feel. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, they don't know when it's like a time to do it. Yeah. And when it, like, obviously for me, it's, I'm assuming it's, in my opinion, it's never a time to do it, but whatever. Do you have a story, by the way, of like just a fan going out of its way, being so persistent, or just being an absolute clown show, or maybe just like a weird story of a fan doing an autograph for you or anything like that?
It wasn't directed at me. Like, I've had like my fair share of like, I'm leaving the field, like with my family, like walking down the street and like, they're sprinting after me with like these books, you know, it's like, like, come on. but I think we were in Jacksonville this year and Blake Rutherford was with me in AAA and, you know, former first rounder of the Yankees and got traded to us. But, like the bat racks, like kind of closed off, like it's like premier, like whatever seats, like all you can eat next to it. So the autograph seekers are on like the far side of the dugout. And like Blake is like putting his stuff away, and Blake's a Cali guy. So he's like super kind of lethargic about everything, like slowly put it in, you know? And like this guy is literally like, Blake, like, I swear to God, like it was for like 30 straight seconds of just Blake. And I'm like, dude, like I'm about to say something. And Mikey Matsuk, who played at LSU, like super like a like rah-rah guy, like almost like he looked at me, he goes, he says it one more time and told him to shut the fuck up. And he actually stopped like right before like Mikey could go off on him. But like that was one of the ones I'm like, dude, like we haven't even like gone out for stretch. Like he hasn't ran by you yet. So it's like, why are you yelling at him? Like all the way down the dugout, like consistently, like he hears you. I promise he hears you.
I love, and I don't even know what it would be like for a guy like Tim Anderson, man. I mean, this guy is a bona fide superstar in the game of baseball. Mm-hmm. He's going to be nasty for a long period of time. I saw him live at the Rogers Center and I'm like, this guy's insane. I mean, he's fast as shit. His hands are lightning fucking speed.
Oh, yeah.
Everything about this dude is scary hours. Like, I don't even know how people play with him and have a good self-esteem because this guy's insane. So when it's like a superstar like that, do you ever like even ask these guys how they tune out the boos, the fans roasting them in opposing parks, or just these autograph seekers that, like you said, say their names 5,000 fucking times?
No, I haven't really had that conversation with anybody. Like, I think I've always been like pretty solid about like getting outside of the chirps and like who really cares. Like, I think it's like just kind of what I learned when I was hurt. Like, dude, it doesn't matter what people think about you. Like, as long as you think a certain way. I mean, like I was pretty like before my injury, I was kind of like, I would give it back to fans occasionally and stuff. And like,
Yeah, of course, dude,
it was bad. Like this guy, I have one story, which is
let's hear it.
People keep saying it. Like every single person that played with me in low A, like recalls the story. And we're in Greensboro playing the Marlins. And like, dude, I struggle at Greensboro. Like there's this like apartment building in like dead center. And it was like still going up. So it was like white, like there was no background. And I'm like, this isn't going to be a good series. And I think I'm like 1-for-19 at this point against them. And there's this guy, it was Thirsty Thursday, obviously. And this guy's like in a wife beater and like these like cargo, like cut off shorts, like, you know, kind of looks like he's from like a trailer park. Right. Like, I mean, that's just kind of the thought process that came to my mind. But like, I go up, strike out, go up again, strike out. Now he's in my ear and he's like just wearing me out, like first rounder, my ass, like all this shit.
Wow.
And like at the time, like I was like, I've always been like a larger dude, but like I was definitely like fat at the time. Right. And like, he goes, hey, Berger, like this is my last at bat. So I'm 0-for-4 with 3 punches and a ground out and a double play. Like struggling. And it's not even like battle strikeouts, just like boom, 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 like back to the dugout. And it's like the 8th or 9th inning. He's like, Berger, like, if you strike out here, I'll buy a pizza tonight. He's like, we know you love eating pizza. And like, he's a larger dude too. I'm like, what the hell's going on? Fucking sure enough, 3 pitches, strike out. And he's like wearing me out back to the dugout. And like, I stop at the top step. I point out, I'm like, why don't you go back to your fucking trailer park? And like, it just came out. Dude. It just came out. And the crazy part is like, I go out, like we finish the game, whatever. And he's like waiting for me down by the dugout. And he gives me $10 for a pizza. I'm like, dude, I don't want this. Like, I gave it back to him, but
dude. What a fucking story. Yeah. Holy fuck. That guy is probably your worst enemy.
Yes.
He was probably beating the shit out of the wall when he saw you hit your big league home run. Like, that's the guy that I fucking, he's like, that's the guy that I put in the body bag in fucking Greensboro. And now he's in the show launching nukes. That is, I love minor league baseball. And I said this time and time again, minor league baseball has it right with the drink. I mean, the drink, give the giveaways, yeah, all that kind, yeah, of shit. If you throw Thirsty Thursday in a, like the Rogers Center, that's, I mean, that stadium's already a fucking insane.
It's place. Dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, you saw it in the playoffs when that Jays fan threw, yeah, a full beer at the outfielder on the Orioles, oh, yeah, or whatever.
Oh yeah.
I mean, the Toronto fans are fucked and they're hockey guys, obviously. Oh, yeah. So they're good with the chirps.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, You haven't played here, I'm assuming, yet, right?
No, but one of my – so I grew up playing hockey, and so, like, I was up, yeah, there all the time, and one of my best friends is from Whitby, so, like, it was like,
oh, yeah, really?
Uh-huh, yeah.
What's his – is he – like, did he play baseball?
He played baseball, and then he's hitting coach at Missouri State now, Joey Hawkins. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's his name?
Joey Hawkins.
Oh, Joey Hawkins. Okay, I thought it was Jake. Yeah, no, dude. I mean, Canadians are just – so did you play for, in that St. Louis AAA loop where it was like – where like Tkachuk and all them used to play?
Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Holy fuck. Yeah, how good is Tkachuk?
Dude, it's unbelievable. He was – I think he's in 97 and I was in 96. So
yeah,
we would play like summer like 3-on-3 together and stuff like that. And like it's just – it was stupid, he's like insane. Back then. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's insane. I mean, he's worth the bag. I mean, the guy's, yeah, just an absolute pest. He's a freak of nature.
Yeah.
And we're talking about like minor league baseball. And obviously this week, big news with minor league baseball housing being paid for. And I'm assuming you kind of did that scene from what's the Shawshank Redemption where you're Andy Dufresne's, yeah, in the water pointing up to the heavens.
Yeah.
So like, how, describe to the people who don't understand it. Cause everyone always comes at minor leaguers and like, you guys are fucking pro baseball players, you can afford housing, all that kind of shit. Like, they don't understand that some of these guys signed for $1,000. Like, that's how stupid some people are on the planet. How big is this news, man? I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I mean, I couldn't be happier. And like, you know, for me, like I didn't really have to go through the struggle, but a lot of my friends did. And it's like, dude, they're eating ramen every single night. Like they're not feeding themselves like properly to be a professional athlete. And then on top of that, like, I mean, the place I lived at, it was me, Gavin Sheets, and 4 other dudes. Like, it was a 3-bedroom apartment with 6 dudes living in it. Like, me and Gavin lived in the living room, and one guy, like, slept in the kitchen. Like, it's just, like, it's not – it's something that was definitely needed, and, like, it definitely is going to help a lot of people. And I've had a lot of, like, friends that are senior signing for basically a plane ticket, you know. And so it's going to be really good for baseball, and I think you'll see performance levels go up.
Yeah, it just it takes off. Like, and you see some of these minor league baseball players, they're legit working like high schooler fucking jobs in the sun, like in the winter. Like, mm-hmm. there's guys legit just bagging fucking groceries. Yeah. Like, and they're like a pro baseball player, like a 6'4" guy bagging groceries. Uh-huh. So it's crazy. And the minor league pay, I mean, obviously that's another thing that has to change also. I mean, you guys are professional baseball players. Like, what the fuck are we doing here? What's like, so what's it like around the club, like, especially a guy like you, who's like a first rounder, all that kind of stuff. Do you kind of feel like at certain points, like you have to fucking take the bill on dinner? Like, are you just like, all right, boys, this shit's on me. Are you that guy? Are you that locker room guy?
Yeah, no, I like definitely like when we go out to get drinks and stuff, like I always feel like I want to pay for drinks. And like, you know, it's just, it's tough because like these guys, like the clubbies, like basically made the food. Like obviously that changed this year, which was really cool. Like we're starting to like incrementally like get better in certain areas. Like this year, like the club paid for all the food. And so like the clubby just like picks food for us to have that day. So like this year the food was a lot better. But I mean, like I remember in 2017, like we had, like in between a doubleheader, we had like hot dogs and ice cream. You know, like that's just not gonna cut it.
Jesus Christ.
So like and now like it's great. And, but no, definitely like when you're a guy that signs for a decent amount of money, like you definitely feel like you have a responsibility to kind of help guys that aren't as fortunate.
And then you see the guys like, well, I mean, Wander Franco was ripping around on a McLaren. He was in the minors, dude. Yeah. It's crazy. That guy is he's a legend. I fucking love Wander Franco. Uh-huh. And let's go off the thing for a second, because obviously you're a big soccer guy. I'm getting into soccer, mm-hmm. AKA I think Cristiano Ronaldo's a fraud and Messi's better. You can maybe attest to that. Are you a Messi guy or Ronaldo?
I'm a Messi guy.
Thank you. So, I mean, Ronaldo, Pinaldo, they call him. Pinaldo. Fuck Ronaldo. So, you're a Tottenham guy. Yep. And I believe you actually went to a game last year. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yeah. Or
was that 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago. How fucking crazy are those English people, man?
Dude, it's something you never see. And I've been to playoff football. I've been to playoff basketball. I've been to playoff hockey. I've been to playoff baseball. Like, nothing compares. Our playoffs don't even compare to just a normal, like, game in December against like not even a rival. Like it's unbelievable. And I mean, it's like you have legit cops like lined up because there's like an opposing section and like there's cops lining them so like they don't go at each other. Like it's,
that's so sick.
Like we sat, so we went to a Tottenham game, we went to a Man City Man United game,
wow,
and a Liverpool Everton game, and so like two derbies, and like that was really cool. Like the Tottenham game was awesome. I think it was the best stadium by far. And for me, like obviously, but the Man City Man United game, we kind of sat closer to the away fans. And like, I'm telling you, like there's birds getting thrown up, like at each other, like pointing, like just yelling, just the craziest shit. Like it's, yeah. It's crazy.
It's crazy. Dude, it's insane because obviously here, if you go on like the totem pole, I would say Canada for passion wise for sports, I guess it would probably be on the bottom because what like our college athletics are honestly nothing. And our Toronto Maple Leaf games are all fucking guys in suits that can afford to buy the tickets. And then for the U.S., that college atmosphere is electric. I'm a University of Michigan fan. So I've seen the big house, how crazy it gets. It's not even like I've seen videos. It's not even remotely fucking near what the EPL is like, dude. Like it's not even remotely close. Like it's insane to me how quick the fucking fights are. It's just a crazy dude. I love these videos. And when you were, so you never went to an opposing stadium in a Tottenham jersey cheering for Tottenham.
No, that was a big no. We almost went to the Man United Tottenham game because they played like a couple days later. And like it lined up with the Liverpool Everton game, but like we were gonna buy like Man United stuff and like not cheer, but like stand, like we didn't want to get killed, dude. Like it's crazy. Like legitimately, I have a couple of buddies that are from England, and like they met us and like kind of showed us around London and stuff, and they're like, dude, like it's not like America. Like you can't wear, I couldn't wear this Blackhawks jersey like anywhere, you know. Like it's like you it's will crazy. Like piss off the wrong person and get jumped. Like,
and they don't give a fuck. Like, they honestly don't care. Like, they will openly beat the living fuck out of you. Like, they really don't care. Yeah. I've never been, obviously. I'm just speaking from experience of, like, obviously there's a lot of people here that are EPL fans, mm-hmm. and they've told me these stories, and it's insane. So those people, like, those soccer, like, those athletes are absolute superstars. And you want to talk about guys that probably can't even leave their house?
Yeah,
like,
it's them.
Guys that play in the EPL. Yeah. Like, even guys that are, like, reserves, they probably are just absolute, like, they can't leave, do shit there.
Mm-mm, no shot. Yeah, that's why they travel to, like, all over the place for their vacation. Like, they have to, like, leave, like, the country and, like, kind of, like, solid Europe. Like, they have to go to, like, small islands. It's crazy.
And you're a big, and yeah, you're a big Chicago guy. Obviously, you're wearing the Chicago Blackhawks jersey. And I, like I said, if I'm rooting for one team besides the Leafs to be a wagon, I guess you can say the Golden Knights also. It's the Chicago Blackhawks, man. I mean, the off-season additions this year, obviously they've struggled. I don't know what the fuck's going on with Fleury. I think he's giving up absolutely. Like, I mean, he's giving up like 4 goals a game.
Swiss cheese right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, being a guy there from there, I mean, what is your, like, is that something you've adapted, or were you a Blackhawks fan or a Blues fan growing up?
So, like, I grew up, it's like, it's kind of a long story, but like, my family, like, I was always up in Chicago, like, obviously playing with the Junior Blues, like, I was always up in Chicago and Toronto, Detroit, and, like, I have some family that lives in Chicago and kind of fell in love with the city, and, like, Paul Konerko was my favorite player growing up, so I'm an automatic fan of the White Sox, and I like to be a contrarian sometimes, and I'm like, you know what, like, let's start cheering for the Blackhawks, so that's kind of how that came about, and so I kind of started cheering for the Coyotes, and like Clayton Keller and I grew up together. So like, it was easy to root for them. And then the Predators, like, now in Nashville, Luke Cunningham, like, grew up 3 houses from me. So like, I kind of have like connections all, like, I'll root for like Matthew and Brady Tkachuk. For me, it's like, yeah, I want the Blackhawks to win every night, but like, I also want Luke Cunningham to score 2 goals against the Blackhawks, and the Blackhawks win 4-2, you know?
Clayton Keller is disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean, holy fuck, that guy's good. And he's an absolute man rocket, just an absolute good looking dude.
Oh, yeah. Like,
I love Clayton Keller. The guy's disgusting. So, a couple more things here. Second last thing I wanted to bring up is, obviously, you got a taste of the show this year. You know what it's like to hit there. You obviously, I mean, 263, with you hit, you got that first big league nuke out of the way. Now no one has to chirp you for saying having a nuke yet, all that kind of shit. What are you, like, working on this offseason? Is it your approach? Like, are you trying to get, like, just turn into the fucking rocket yoked? Or, like, what's the deal here?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the main focuses is, like, kind of being able to play multi-positions. You know, you never know when that can help. And, I mean, it can only help. So, that's probably priority number one. And then priority number two is just kind of finding my approach, you know, trying to cut down on swing and miss in zone with certain pitches and, you know, being able to lay off more pitches and not chase as much. So, and I think that's part of, like, being off for so long, like 3 years, I didn't really get to experience, like, those growing pains as much. And so, like, this year, like, towards the end, like, obviously I was, like, mentally and physically tired, but, like, then you start, like, struggling a little bit and you're like, okay, like, this is the ebbs and flows of a regular season. So, you know, I kind of want to take all that data, and I have a great facility down here that's going to help me with that. So,
yeah, dude, another thing, obviously, and just for people listening, like, to realize how good Jake is, another guy in your system who we had on the show, Tyler Osick, friend of the show.
Yeah.
He said you're the best hitter he's ever seen. Like, that, I mean, that's very good comment. He commented, like, that's how we kind of connected here was through Osick. Mm-hmm. I mean, he said you're the best hitter he's ever seen, which is an absolute fucking power move of a compliment. No one will ever say that about me ever. It's just electric to see. So what's, and this is going throughout your career, talk us through the furthest nuke you've, or the biggest nuke you've ever hit in your whole career, college, minor league baseball, anything. Like, I'm talking walk off, regional, any of that shit.
I would say, like, big in terms of, like, how I felt or, like, how it helped,
like,
us.
Moment.
I mean, like, I would say I was a freshman. It was 2015, and we were playing at Arkansas in this game one of the Super Regional.
Holy shit.
And, like, I was hitting, like, eighth, and it was 0-0 going into the third, and I hit, like, a home run, like, at Arkansas in front of, like, 17,000 Razorback fans, and, like, just like the eerie just silence that just, like, deadened the place. Like, I will never forget that. Like, that's probably, like, we ended up, like, losing that game, but, like, that moment I was like, dude, that, like, I just showed up 17,000 fans. Like,
dude,
it's crazy.
And going into that White Sox future too, man, I mean, you want to talk about, obviously this year they didn't, and it didn't end how they wanted to, especially with the loss to the Astros, but it's just like, you guys are kind of on the same, I guess you could say, projectability as the Toronto Blue Jays, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we're talking young all-stars, guys that are going to be good for a very, very long time. So a couple of guys I want to talk about is like Garrett Crochet. Yeah. I mean, this guy is a lefty. I don't even think he played minor league baseball. Is that correct?
No, he just
said, fuck minor league baseball. Yeah. He throwed 100.
Uh-huh.
So I mean, what's that guy like? Just being a teammate with that guy, seeing what he does to hitters. It's fucking insane.
It's incredible. And like what's really cool to see about those guys is like, oh, you're like, oh, he skipped the minor leagues. Like, he doesn't know what it's like to grind. Like, he's one of the nicest dudes in the world. And like, absolutely grinds day in and day out. Like, awesome to see. And like, he's always one of like the first guys like I say hi to when I'm in the clubhouse. Like, he's awesome. And like, just seeing what he does, it's just like, dude, it's gross. Like, it's gross.
Would you say you're the locker room guy on that team? Or who's like the gel guy on the team? Like, the guy that is like the funny guy, maybe the DJ in the clubhouse. Who's that guy?
I would say like Billy Hamilton and Ryan Burr were like the two, like, the gel position player and the gel pitcher. Like, they kind of like knew how to like interact with everybody, and like, not like, as a rookie, you're scared to like step on guys' toes, you know? So like, kind of stay away from that. But like, Billy was like great at like making sure we're all together in a team.
That's just sick. I mean, Billy Hamilton's just, like I said, you want to talk about guys that are universally loved. It's Billy Hamilton.
Oh yeah.
Everyone loves that dude. Just such a good locker room dude. So, and I'll say this. I mean, this is safe to say, and I don't know if where your allegiances lie, but this is the official Jake Burger podcast. I mean, we just have to establish that right off the bat. I mean, what, like I said, you're my guy now. Like I said, every accomplishment you have, it's going to get tweeted from the account, all that kind of shit. That's what I'm talking about here. But, and I'll say this for the people listening, and it was an absolute grind to get you on, because as you can tell, you probably get asked a shit ton of podcasts every single day. Uh-huh. But like I said, we're the Jake Burger podcast, and I could tell straight from the rip, you could be honest here, it's a true circle. I'm assuming you just thought this is just some other podcast. Like, I'm going to ask you analytical shit, and I could tell with the message, you're like, fuck, I guess I'll do this shit, right? I mean, that's where you were at.
No, I mean, yeah, like, you definitely get asked like a shit ton. Like, sometimes you're like, why? Well, like, why? But like, for you, like, I knew that Kevin Smith had been on, like, so like, it was just a matter of like me like actually mentally like wanting to be present for a podcast. And I knew that like once I got to Nashville, I was going to feel great. And I'm like, all right, like, that's probably when we should do it. So, you know,
yeah, I might come down to Nashville in the offseason. I told Frazier that I'm going to get the cowboy experience. Like I said, I have one rule in the show. You don't fuck with guys that wear cowboy boots. And Frazier's a cowboy boot guy. I mean, he's the guy that like, he just reminds me of that kind of guy. So we'll figure, and Kevin's actually down there.
Yeah, Kevin's down here too. Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin. I think Kevin hits down there. Do you guys hit together?
Yeah,
Yeah,
we work out together and hit together, and yeah.
He's so good.
He's a beauty. I love that guy.
He's so good at the game of baseball.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I think he's gonna win Triple A MVP. Yeah. I don't know if you saw his numbers.
No,
I think
stupid.
He's actually gonna win.
Yeah.
He's fucking insane. That's another guy I play COD with. I mean, we have a whole brigade here. And actually, and we'll figure something out. We're gonna run COD together, Bergs. I mean, we're gonna figure something out here.
All right.
But anyways, man, like I said, a guy, and by the way, I might top this episode as one of the most electric episodes we've ever had. I mean, I feel like I'm talking to a guy I know in style as a child. You might have honestly cracked into a Johnny Junta wedding party whenever I get married.
Wow.
You might have weaseled your way in.
I don't have to be number two. I can be number eight or whatever. But.
Yeah, no, you might have weaseled your way in. Maybe a speech at the wedding. We'll figure something out. But anyways, but like I said, man, I'm so, and obviously to get sentimental, I genuinely am fired the fuck up. You didn't give up on the game of baseball, man, because you're a good one for the game. Obviously you're very like outspoken. You're good on social media, and it's very good for the game of baseball, having guys like you in the game, man. So like I said, dude, I'm fucking happy you didn't quit. So
thank you
for doing this, brother. You're fucking electric. And being a guy on the podcast, every time I ask you to come back on, you have to come back on.
Yeah, like, no, it's automatic. Yeah,
it's an obligation. And Andrew Benintendi, what's up?
Yeah,
I mean, Benintendi. Andrew Benintendi, you call me, I won't call you. We'll figure something
out. I want the credit, though. Like, when he comes on, like, I want the credit.
The jersey's getting ordered.
Yeah, all right.
I'm immediately pressing order. I'm not getting those fake DH gate jerseys. I'm getting a legit White Sox burger jersey, number. Maybe burger 69. We'll figure something out. But anyways, brother, man, I mean, this was fucking electric, dude. And thank you for taking the time, dude. This is, I mean, you're a legend.
Yeah,
you're a legend.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Officially Unofficial. Make sure you guys subscribe and leave a review on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Fish on a Fish Pod and on Instagram at Officially Unofficial Pod. Thank you.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.